Bougez, bougez. Bougez, bougez.
Oh, it's budget time. Budget time, Fletchy, at the moment. And who's your go-to? When I say budget, you think of who?
I think of Chris O'Keefe.
Absolutely.
He's my politician go-to, my budget go-to. Anything to do with anything.
And when you think of not budget, look who's just turned up here.
Oh, the Finch.
Finchy.
Finchy. He can blow a budget.
In the meantime, our great mate, our great friend Chris O'Keefe's on the line. G'day, Chris.
G'day, fellas.
Mate, you'll be plastered all over Channel 9 tonight, delivering to the masses what they need to know with relation to the budget. For our listeners who want to get a little sneak peek into things, how's it all shaping up?
Oh, well, honestly, the budget pantomime that goes on, it's like watching Broadway every year, isn't it? Up gets the Prime Minister and they're up on the seat at 7:30 in the House. The only one that people that care about this whole thing are politicians and journos. But for everyone at home, you quickly flick through the papers and you go, right, how's it going to affect me? So, if you're a tradie, good news. Go and buy the ute, go and buy that piece of equipment that you've needed, because you can write it off as much as of it as you want straight away. You don't have to wait the 5 years and write off bits and pieces of it every single year until the bit is depreciated. Anyway, you can get that straight up front in your annual tax return. Two, if you earn between $48,000 and $90,000, you've got a big gorilla in your account, $1,000 at the next in your next tax return. Anyone who earns over $126,000, though, there's not much doing. You're not entitled to anything at all. And if you're a couple that earns over $250,000 and have no kids, there's zero for you too.
Okay, they're the main bullet points, eh, Chris? Fletcher and I were talking about this budget, deficit and surplus. How the hell do we get things back into the black there?
Well, it's not going to happen for 10 years. So 2032, they're projecting for us to be back in surplus. So Brisbane Olympics will have some money in the account. That's the feeling from the Prime Minister. But ultimately, you know, this is the pandemic economically is 30 times worse than the global financial crisis. So that gives you some sort of feeling as to how significantly damaged the Australian economy is. And compared to other economies around the world, we're doing really well. Don't forget, England just came out of lockdown a couple of weeks ago. India's in all sorts of strife. So, you know, given that we're in a situation in Australia where we can spend a bit of money and we can put the money in our hand in the pocket and live relatively comfortably and restriction-free, I think we should be thankful of that. And, you know, if we can get the vaccinations in our arms a bit quicker at some time at the end of the year, well, maybe international travel can return. But I'll give you the tip, there will be no holidays whatsoever until after the federal election, because Scott Morrison, he'll be beating his chest and he'll want to be tough on borders.
Chris, can I ask you this? So after the GFC, we had that stimulus package and we were putting bats in the roof, you know, the pink bats and stuff. Is it going to be something like that? Like, how do they stimulate the economy in doing all that sort of stuff?
Well, we had JobKeeper. So JobKeeper has never happened in Australia before. So essentially the federal government, the Australian taxpayer, paid the wages of Australians. Now, that's unprecedented in this country. It's happened in a couple of others throughout the pandemic. But, you know, you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars for small businesses, sometimes sole traders. So forget Kevin Rudd's 900. Scott Morrison has gone to the ATM and pulled out a hell of a lot more than that to give to people to stimulate the economy. And the tax breaks, sort of a bit of a similar idea, right? So if you've got more money at the end of the year when you do get your tax return back, you're more likely to spend it than not. And that's why you're seeing the housing market in Sydney and Melbourne and Brisbane take off like it is, because people have got more cash in the pocket. They're not spending it overseas. And we're seeing that. Demand in Australia is at an all-time high, and it's an all-time high because we can't go anywhere.
Yeah, Chris, you've got your finger on the pulse when it comes to all things political, all things financial in many ways. Now, Fletch has a very keen interest in crypto. Have you got a personal view on crypto?
It's dribble. I remember speaking to Fletcher now in Big Maxi. He owns one of the Everest slots, and it was
Maxi Whitby.
Oh, yeah. Owns a bourbon. Did he used to own a bourbon?
Beef and bourbon. Yeah. Maxi Whitby told me in 2016, mate, have you heard of this crypto thing? I've just bought a stack of Bitcoin. Well, that stack of Bitcoin is now worth $62,000 a coin. So, you know, Maxi wasn't battling before, but he'll certainly not battling in his crypto stakes either.
So, too smart, Maxi.
I want to go back to the budget for one sec, Chris. Does the government recoup all this just by taxes? Like, I was thinking, does that mean petrol's going to go up or ciggies are going to go up?
No. So how it'll work is essentially the key for budget repair since post-war Australia is immigration. So the more people that get in is the more people that tax. So as soon as we get a bigger population is the more tax receipts that come. But they'll play around with the edges. I remember Julia Gillard, she put the Queensland flood levy in to pay for the disaster recovery up there. And John Howard put more levies in than you could know what to do with. But Scott Morrison, when he sits down it'll be interesting if he gets re-elected and he sits down post his election and goes, righto, what's the next 3 years look like? He's going to have to look at the budget because we're $100 billion in deficit and we're looking at $1 trillion in debt. That's insane. Someone's going to have to pay it off eventually. So whether or not we do get a pandemic levy or potentially even a rise in the GST, that's always, you know, if we go to 15%, it makes a hell of a lot of difference to the nation's books. But as the great Kerry Packer said, well, if the government's not going to spend it properly, why are we giving it to them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Didn't he also say if you pay more than 5% tax, you're an idiot?
Something like that.
I think he said that.
But he'd know all about making money, Kerry.
One other question I do have for you. The Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, he's in the back of the Telegraph today on monkey bars.
What's doing there?
Is that all about? I don't get it. Is it a metaphor for something or is he just hanging on?
It's the playground, cash playground or something like that. I don't pretend to know what the
dog shit. I'm just saying it's a rank photo. It doesn't make sense.
Show me the photo. Explain yourself.
Look at him.
Oh, show me the photo.
He's got like...
Oh, what's doing?
He's got black shoes and a brown belt.
And he's also on a chin-up bar that he could easily stand up on, isn't he? Hey, before you go, Chris, what about budget surplus here? I'm looking here at the National Rugby League ladder in sixth position. 5 wins, 4 losses, 24 points in the positive. Your mighty St. George Illawarra Dragons.
Well, fellas, last time I spoke to you was after the Charity Shield, and I was in the fetal position. So if we were discussing it, you said you'd be 6 come round 10 or whatever we're at, I definitely would have taken it. And how good's Jack Bird playing? He's on fire. Hook's playing money ball. We've got all these sort of blokes that are a bit out of favour at other clubs, and he's gelling them all together. We've had a couple of hiccups against the Tigers and your Chookies, Fletch, but, you know, mate, we're a puncher's chance as long as we're there and in sort of a competitive spot come the end of the year. You know, I'll be happy. I'll be drinking at the Leagues Club, no problem.
Well, Chris, you are one of the great wordsmiths of our industry. Mm. Can I ask you this? The Red V faithful, they love a sign. Oust, something about Mary. Give us one for Hook. What can we have for Hook? What?
Hook.
No, we don't want to hook him because he's going all right.
I don't know.
Or what about... Something about...
Well, Bird's the word for you. You reckon he's off to the Blues, don't you?
Well, that's my mail. Yeah, Chris, I'm here that Jack Bird will be in the 17 somewhere.
Really? Yeah. Well, that's... I just hope they cover him in cotton wool. He's playing too good footy for us to get injured again. I remember back in your day, Fletch, in the like mid-2000s, dead set, Gus had picked 90% of the St. George Illawarra side just so we'd all get hurt and the Roosters would beat us.
Hey, Chris, before you go, mate, so they are playing the Melbourne Storm. What was your memory of that 20, or in fact, let's go back further, that 99 grand final, specifically when Nathan Blacklock took off? That was one of the great tries. Where were you for that game?
So Tinger was my favourite ever player.
And I was about row
145E in those big wings at Stadium Australia. I was right up the back with my mum and dad and my sister, and he ran straight at us. We were a long way away. It was like an ant, but I jumped up and was cheering and cheering and cheering, and then at the end of that game, I was crying.
Oh, straight really in, sad.
I was crying all the way along the Illawarra line back to Mortdale.
It's a bit like this show. Yeah. I start like that. I start off cheering. And when it's 5 to 6, I'm crying.
Hey, Chris, we appreciate your time, mate. We'll see you on tonight on the Channel 9 News, Bolton.
Good on you, fellas. Go the Mighty Dragon.